A new episode of Stack Trace is now available. Please update from the Stack Trace 12 beta. How do you like that intro, Rambo?
That was my life for like 2 days. It was rough.
Yeah, you see, this is how I dodge the bullets when I don't use the betas.
Yeah, you see, that's why I don't recommend betas to anyone. People keep asking me, hey, should I install the beta? And I always say, nope.
Right, yeah. But still, you do it to yourself, and that's, I guess, your decision.
Yeah.
But it was very funny to see all the memes and all the reactions, on Twitter and online, because everyone got this update dialogue in the iOS beta, like, please update from the iOS 12 beta, which was, just the wording there was very funny as well, like, it almost sounded like some temporary string that someone just put in, you know, to make some test pass or something. But then it actually showed up in everyone's phone.
Yeah, and just mentioning here my favorite memes. One of them was a song by Jonathan Mann.
Uh-huh, yeah,
Song
yeah.
A Day Man.
Yeah, he's
and,
awesome.
And by my request, I requested the song and he made it. And it made me very happy during... a rough period of my life,
yeah.
Those 2 days. So it made me laugh quite a bit. Also, there was someone who made an AR thing that had the the Apple alerts telling people to update. So yeah, those were very funny.
Yeah.
Thanks everyone for making cool memes and making fun of a rough situation.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to follow. So, Rambo, what are you up to? Are you packing for Spain?
Yeah, not really, because I'm only going to pack, like, on Sunday. Because
yeah.
What I'm packing is basically clothing and my tech stuff, my mm-hmm. computer and stuff like that. So, yeah, so there's not much I can do in terms of packing before then.
Right.
I need to use my computer, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been doing the Chibi Studio stuff, spelunking, as we're going to talk about.
Yeah, you've done some spelunking since we last spoke. You have.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, maybe found some detail, one or two, you know, something like that. Yeah. Nothing big, nothing huge.
Yeah. Nope, no, just some stuff. And some finishing touches for my NS Spain talk, because I'm going to give a talk at NS Spain, and it's going to be about spelunking. I think I can say the title. It's going to be The Art of Spelunking.
Ooh, that's a nice title.
Yeah, I have rehearsed it like 2 times, and I think I like it. I usually, when I give talks, I think they are crap, and I don't like them, but then people tell me that they liked my talk, so I don't know if they're lying just to make me feel better, but... hey, I try.
Yeah, it's something I tend to do a lot as well. Like, I tend to bring my own biggest critic. And, you know, this can be like a little bit of a double-edged sword. Sometimes, you know, you have to not go too far and, you know, really criticize yourself too much. You have to be also proud of what you've done and, you know what you're good at and, you know, be confident and these kind of things. But sometimes it can be really, really good to, you know, be able to criticize your own thing, knowing where you can improve, and also to kind of also try to be, you know, as humble as possible and really be open to feedback and these kind of things, which, you know, I always try to do that as much as I can, because I realize that nothing I do is going to be ever perfect, you know, and that's fine. But I love trying to improve things and trying to find areas where, you know, things can get better.
You should see how much time I spent tweaking an animation in the studio last weekend.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, I tend to get a bit obsessive over animations as well, and in talks as well. Like, I know you use DeckSet, but I use Keynote, and I put a lot of animations into my talks, and I always obsess over them. Like, no, this thing can't animate out before this thing has moved in completely, so I tweak them manually, these animations and things like that. But, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, fun fact, I'm using Keynote this time.
Ooh, plot twist.
Yeah, because you have been talking about Keynote, and I wanted to... have a little bit more flexibility with my slides, so I went with Keynote. So, and What have you been doing? I know you've been tweaking stuff as well.
Yeah, you could say that. So I finally launched my Swift syntax highlighter. It's called Splash, and we'll put a link in the show notes to the GitHub repository if you want to check it out. Because, you know, you're putting a splash of color on your code.
And, it's a nice name.
Yeah, I think it's a fun name. And the launch has gone really, really well, I think. People seem to be excited about it, and I got some people looking at the code, and some people said that they learned something from it, which is, you know, really great. This is a project that I'm not expecting, you know, a lot of people to be using, but I wanted to open source it anyway, just to kind of share it with the community, for people to be able to learn from the source code. I tried to kind of architect it in a way that hopefully could be interesting to look at, to see, like, you know, how I actually applied all these syntax rules to the code and things like that. So that was a lot of fun. And then one night I had an idea, which was, you know, since I now have the syntax highlighter and it's not only able to output HTML, but it's also able to output an attributed string, why don't I try to build a little simple editor from this? Like, why don't I take a just vanilla Mac app, like a blank NS window, and I put an NS text view in there, like the class, the view that you use to render text on the Mac, and simply observe all the key presses, and whenever the user types a key, I just run that text through Splash and put the attributed string that comes out back into the NS text view to basically build a little proof of concept editor. So I did that, I tweeted about it, and it seemed like a lot of people thought it was cool. So of course, then I got really excited. And I was like, yeah, this is really cool. And then I implemented autocomplete and build and run and inline prints and a lot of other features. And yeah, I've been going a little bit crazy with this prototype. I still haven't spent a lot of time on it, but it's been a lot of fun doing this and just seeing the reaction from people and seeing people get excited about it and having these nice conversations back and forth. So it's probably a prototype I'm going to continue exploring and see what's going to happen.
So this keeps escalating because you started with, you wanted to make a new website and you wanted to highlight some code without using JavaScript. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden you have, you are rebuilding Xcode.
This is so typically me, by the way, because this is exactly what happened when I built Imagine Engine, which is my game engine. Exactly the same thing happened because I was using SpriteKit to build a game with my friends. And then I ran into some performance problems and I was like, let me just build my own game engine. And then I did that and open sourced it. So, you know, it's this thing keeps happening. But yeah, I guess that's just who I am. I just love building stuff.
So next time John is going to have some scrolling issues with UI scroll view and he's going to rebuild UIKit in assembly.
With your help, because you're going to identify all the symbols I need to use to call into the system APIs. Yeah, it's but you know, I think also it's as a quick aside, it's sometimes I think it's good for us as developers to go a little bit crazy and ask ourselves, like, can I do something like this? And I understand, you know, not everyone has unlimited time. I mean, I don't either. So I tend to time box these prototypes a lot. Like, I can only spend like 3 hours on this or 4 hours on this. But I love to just like dream about like building something crazy, like, hey, can I build an editor? You know, it sounds really crazy. But then once you sit down and you start kind of picking apart the problem and you realize, actually, I could build something like this. And it's very empowering and motivating to discover this. And of course, that's not always what happens with prototypes. Sometimes, you know, a lot of times, nothing happens with them. But just like having these crazy dreams and trying it out, it's really, really cool, I think. All right, so next week we are actually going to be in NS Spain in the awesome conference in Logroño in Spain. And as you might have heard before, we're going to do a live show there, which means that we're going to actually have an episode of Stack Trace out next week as well. So this is going to be a little bit of a special thing, and you can kind of look at it as a preview of what could happen if we actually hit our goal on Patreon. Because as you might also know, we are currently trying our very best to hit our goal on Patreon, which would enable us to spend enough time on the show to do it every single week. And we would really love to see that. So if you really like these two shows back to back, you know, one show every week, then hopefully you'll also consider helping us out on Patreon and maybe we can make this a regular thing. What do you say, Rambo?
Yeah, awesome. So you're going to have 3 weeks straight of Stacktrace episodes.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And it's a good time to do it too, right? Because we're going to have the keynote and we're probably going to have a lot to say about that. And you're probably going to do a lot of spelunking once like the GM hits and all the new versions of iOS come out. Speaking of my Swift editor, we're actually also going to do a after show like we always do every single month for our after show patrons. And this time I'm actually going to show how I built that Swift editor. So I'm going to take you behind the scenes. We're going to do some demo. I'm going to show you how the code looks like. And yeah, we're going to do a little live demo of building a Swift editor. So that's another good reason to check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/stacktracepod.
Awesome.
But now, the moment you've all been waiting for, let's talk about the mother of all leaks. Rambo, what's been going on?
As you said, it was a pretty big leak from Apple. And what happened is that me and 9to5 Mac, which is the publication I write for, we got our hands on marketing images of iPhone XS and Apple Watch Series 4. And we published them because that's what you do when you're a publication about Apple and you get your hands on pictures of unreleased devices. You publish them. And so, yeah, so now the world has seen the iPhone XS and the Apple Watch Series 4.
Yeah, and both look really cool. We're going to dive, of course, into both of them in a lot more detail. And we're also going to do our poker game this episode as well for the upcoming keynote. So it's going to be a fully packed episode. But these two things that you found were, of course, really, really kind of unprecedented, because usually you find some glyphs or some device identifiers, or you find some, you know, references in code or things like that. But this time you actually found like high resolution marketing images, which was, you know, really, really crazy to see.
Yeah, and I think we should preface this by saying that these are marketing images directly from Apple, and they are probably going to be used for marketing of the new devices. Maybe they're going to change them because they leaked, and maybe they will think, well, maybe we should use other ones just so we don't use the ones that leaked.
Yeah.
If they have others, I guess they do like several variations, so it wouldn't be a big deal for them to change the one they'll feature.
And they're also renders, so they should be able to, they're not photos, right? So they should be able to just like change the artwork on them or something, but that could be harder, I guess, to commission and put in the OS and things like that. But maybe they can like put the 3D model in a slightly different angle or something like that, just to make it a little bit more fresh.
Yeah, and this is interesting because we published, and Zach, who edited the post, he didn't add any mention that these are actual pictures of the device. And by pictures, I mean official images by Apple.
Yeah.
And then I mentioned to him, maybe we should include in the post that they are not... they are actual official images, because people could be confused, because we post several concepts and stuff, and people can think that that's another case of that. But then he added a caption, not a render.
Yeah.
And then I commented, maybe we should use the word mock-up, because they are probably renders.
Exactly.
Apple doesn't really use real like pictures taken with a camera, unless they are like doing a commercial, then there are videos that are of actual devices. But those marketing shots, close-ups and stuff, those are of renders. They are 3D renders of devices, but they are official from Apple, and with the exact dimensions the device is going to have, and with the precise colors and lighting that Apple wants to show. So yeah, so they are renders, but they are official marketing renders by Apple.
Yeah, because, you know, imagine how hard it would be to get the exact correct light conditions, especially like if you've ever tried to take a photo of a screen, you know, there's always a lot of glare and it always like it doesn't look very nice when it like comes through the camera. So yeah, it's almost all of them are renders. Even I think when they will have some photo of someone actually holding an iPhone, they will usually just, you know, take that image and put a render on top of it, right? So The screen itself will always be a render.
Yeah. And another aspect is when you post something like this, it's common for people to want to know about sources. And as much as I would like to tell everyone exactly how these marketing images were acquired by me, there's an aspect of what I do, which is I have some tricks up my sleeve, and I don't. It's like a magic trick, and you don't want to like reveal the trick. So I can't tell exactly how I got them. What I can say is that there's no live stream involved because some people got confused. I tweeted about Apple testing their live stream for the keynote, and they do that with every event, but they never stream anything relevant. They just use stuff from previous years.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a live stream.
It wasn't like Tim Cook accidentally going up on stage and be like, here's the new iPhone, like, you know,
yeah,
like rehearsing.
Like live streaming the rehearsal.
Yeah, exactly. And you go like, yes, screenshot. Perfect.
So just to get that out of the way. I'm sorry. I can't say exactly how we got them, but what I can say is that the source is Apple.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't find them in a bar, did you?
No, not this time.
Not this time. All right. So if we start with the iPhone, so the iPhone is probably, most likely, very highly likely, going to be called the iPhone XS. So still spelled with an X, but then an S afterwards. So Rambo, what do you think about this name?
So it's complicated because it's either iPhone XS or iPhone XS.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't think about that one. It can also be iPhone extra small, right?
Yeah,
which is a bit confusing since it's not the smallest iPhone.
Yeah. So, and some people were saying that, like, maybe 9to5 Mac confused that the name would be XS because the image file was named XS and it meant extra small. But I can assure you that that's not the case. First of all, because this picture is not extra small. It's a large, high resolution picture. And second, because that wasn't the context. So don't worry. It's 99.9% iPhone XS spelled with an X. And it's hard to even pronounce that. I'm thinking that the naming scheme this year is going to be interesting, but we'll talk more about that during the poker.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the name is really interesting. And I mean, in one sense, it's kind of obvious because they've been using this naming scheme, you know, since the 6, no, earlier than that, since the 4S, you know? So, It's not surprising that you have, for the second year, you have the S suffix. But in this case, when they started going to a letter, or, you know, you shouldn't pronounce it as a letter, but it is a letter, it's kind of surprising now to see them still stick with that. But it might be explained when we see the names of the other iPhones that are also presumably coming. So who knows? But yeah, it's a strange name. Of course, a lot of people are going to say the XS. Yeah, I guess we just have to keep correcting people now, do we?
Yeah, but how much do you think the name means to, like, regular people? Because we are nerds and we nerd out about names and we like to call things by their, like, correct names. But, like, a regular person, they are probably going to go to the store and they're going to look at the different sizes and they're going to pick an iPhone based on the size and the price, and they don't really care about the name. It's the new one.
Yeah, I guess so. With iPhones, though, I mean, usually the names are more kind of in people's minds in general, I would say, than with a lot of other products. For example, I don't know what model number my TV has, or even my display or something like that. But I know, of course, all the model names of iPhones. And yeah, sure, I'm very interested in iPhones. But even, you know, people like my parents and things, they know like what iPhone they have and what it's called, like what the model number is and things like that. And, you know, they don't know that about any of their other products, more or less. So yes, I'm sure now also when probably the line is going to be even wider, there's going to be even more different iPhones. Maybe it's going to matter less what each individual one is called. But yeah, it's one of those names that when you first hear it, it sounds really strange. But then maybe you get used to it over time.
Yeah. So two things about the iPhone XS picture. One, there are two devices of different sizes. So there's one which looks like the same size as an iPhone X, so 5.8 inch. And another one which looks larger. And there's been so much speculation about this that we can say it probably is 6.5 inch. Mm-hmm. And so it's the equivalent of the plus version for the iPhone XS. What do you think about that? Are you going to get the big one?
So I had an iPhone 6 Plus. Yeah, it was a 6 Plus back when it came out for about 3 days. And then I couldn't stand it anymore. It was just too big for me. And even the iPhone X, when I first got it, I felt like it was a little bit too big. But I've gotten used to it. And maybe I would also get used to a bigger phone, you know, like an iPhone XS Plus. Super yeah. Big, whatever it's going to be called. But I don't know. Like, for me, I feel like I'm already a little bit past my limit of how big I want my phone to be with the iPhone X. So I wouldn't go for the bigger one. And of course, it depends on what kind of features it has. If it has like even cooler features and, you know, even better camera and things like that, which it might have or may not have. We will see. But yeah, for now, I think I'm not going to get a phone at all because I already have the iPhone X and I usually don't buy a new phone every year. But if I were to get one, then I would probably go for the smaller one, for the extra small one. I want the XS, the extra small one, please.
The iPhone XS.
Exactly.
What I'm thinking is, depending on what they add to the new devices, it really doesn't make sense to update unless you are using an iPhone X and you want the big one, which is my case. Because I used an iPhone 7 Plus before I got my X, and there are some issues with using a plus size phone. As you mentioned, there are some issues in terms of how practical it is, but I really like having a big phone, and I think a 6.5 inch OLED display is going to be really good, and especially for reading. Like when I'm taking an Uber somewhere and taking a while, I like to read on my phone.
Okay.
And I think a larger display is going to be very helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is that I almost never read on my phone, and I don't really consume any content at the moment, at least, that is, or perform any tasks that would really benefit such a large screen, or would really benefit from such a large screen. So for me, I mostly use my phone for, you know, messaging, occasional phone calls, you know, they still exist, and Twitter, basically, that's it, and writing notes. And sure, writing notes might be better on a bigger phone, but for now, you know, it works completely fine with the one I have, and it worked fine with the one I had previously as well. So, and I haven't been more productive with the iPhone X, but I do love the iPhone X. I think it's an amazing phone, but I don't feel like that jump in screen size from the iPhone 7 to the iPhone X was really, you know, gaining me much productivity. So I doubt that jumping again in screen size will give me a boost in productivity.
Yeah, that makes sense. From your description of your usage, it makes sense that it wouldn't make much of a difference to you. And what we can probably guess is that the plus version is going to have a better camera, because that's what they usually do to differentiate them, besides the sizing, of course. I don't know anything about that, but it's a good guess that they are probably going to add something about cameras because they have more space, and maybe the battery is going to last significantly more because it's a very large body, and the OLED screen, I guess it doesn't use that much more energy because it's an OLED screen, so the difference in energy consumption doesn't go up as much as with an LCD with the difference in size. So
right,
maybe that's going to be a selling point.
It's not a linear complex problem.
yeah. To finish off this talk about the 10S device, there's also the color, which is the gold color, which, let me tell you, I have never, ever wanted to get a gold color anything, but this picture made me think.
Maybe you will.
We'll see. I think maybe I will get tired of it. So, 2 months after owning the device, I'll be like, oh, I should have gotten the black one.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It made me think. That's all I'm saying.
Right. That's how they get you eventually. You know, they are showing these really cool pictures to you, and then eventually you kind of, oh, maybe I should get the gold one. Exactly. Shiny and so nice.
Gold is best.
Yeah, but for me, gold is not appealing at all. It's... I'm a plain kind of guy in that sense. I want the, you know, simplest iPhone possible. Maybe this is my Swedish heritage showing that I don't want anything flashy. I just want the simplest one that everyone else has. All right, so we should also talk about the new Apple Watch. So the new Apple Watch that we've seen from the photos that you found, this Apple Watch, I am at least 10 times more excited about this Apple Watch than I am about the phone.
Yep.
I am so excited about this Apple Watch, and I think this photo, it just looks awesome. It looks amazing, and it looks like Apple, they have finally realized what the Apple Watch is supposed to be, which is just a great screen, edge-to-edge screen, minimalist design, and just a lot of information, right? Like, put as many complications as you possibly can on that screen without it looking cramped, without it looking, you know, ugly. But there's like 10 complications on that screen or something. There's a lot of them. And I love it. I really love it, because this is what I love the Apple Watch for, is just like looking at it. For me, it's like a read-only device. I just look at it like a normal watch, but I just want as much information as possible. And this just looks like it's finally kind of delivering on that promise.
Yeah, that's what Apple tells us as developers about watch apps and stuff, that they should be able to work at a glance.
So yeah,
you just
exactly.
Look at your wrist quickly and you gather some info you want, and that's it. And I think they are amplifying that with this new Apple Watch. So it's clearly going to run a new build of watchOS, which we haven't seen yet. And it has this huge screen and huge watch face packed with tons of complications. And it's very interesting, because the first feeling I had when I saw this was like, oh, that's confusing. But like a second later, I was like, maybe this is actually cool.
Yeah, it looks like a command center on your wrist.
Yeah.
You know, it's looks like almost like a cockpit from an airplane or something, you know? There's so many instruments there. And for me, this is like a evolution of, you know, these kind of watches. I don't know the technical term for them, but, you know, there are these kinds of watches that they just have all these little gizmos on them, right? And that's, they're probably called complications, I guess, right? That's where they got the name from. There's this class of watches that they have, you know, all these little dials, little complications on them, like the analog watches. And this feels like the evolution of that. Like the previous design and the previous UI on the Apple Watch felt like, you know, we can do that, but it's still pretty much the same. Like, you can display two or three pieces of information. But now it's like, since we have such a much larger screen, we can now put, you know, twice as much information on there. And yeah, that is just really, really cool, I think.
Yeah, I really like that. And what we can see from this picture is that the screen is definitely larger as in it feels more of the front of the device, so smaller bezels. It's not very clear because the background is black, so you can't really see where the screen ends and where the rest of the bezel begins. But it's definitely wider and feels more of the face of the watch. It's also more rounded, slightly, like a lot, but it's more rounded. It's a new finish, a new gold, copper gold, I think. We can call it copper gold, maybe.
Might be able to buy and still get away with it. If it's copper. It's not gold, yeah. It's copper.
Yeah, and it has a different indicator for the cellular connection, I guess. Instead of having the whole digital crown as a red dot in the middle, they have just a faded red ring around the crown. And that's nicer than the dot, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so overall, this new Apple Watch, I think, looks really, really awesome. And do you think that we've reached a point now where we're going to have some form of always-on elements? Do you think that some parts of the watch is always going to be on, or is it still going to be like the screen is off until you raise your wrist?
I don't know. I think they're not there yet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, we're only getting that when they can use their own micro LED technology or something.
Yeah, maybe so. And also it seems like they are investing more in more power and speed and features like, you know, radio connectivity and LTE and things like that, rather than, you know, trying to have the display on all the time, which would presumably use a lot of battery life.
Yeah, and this amount of complications, unless they manage to do some really clever software tricks, this requires quite a bit of compute power to drive like all of these complications, which could potentially be all from different apps.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really cool stuff. So yeah, we'll see what's going to happen, but this looks like a buy for me. I still have the original Apple Watch. I haven't updated it at all. It's still the old one. And since I use it so sparingly, and maybe this is now becoming a trend because I use all of my devices very sparingly, I haven't upgraded and I haven't felt the need to do so. But this one is the first one that makes me go, yeah, I want this. I want a new Apple Watch now.
Yeah, I want to get it because I was waiting to get the Series 3. I was waiting to get LTE here in Brazil, and it's not available, but it doesn't make sense to get the Series 3 now, so I'm happy that they are releasing the new one, and I'm happy that I like it.
All right, so what do you say? Should we start playing some poker?
Absolutely. So why don't you explain the rules to our listeners?
Sure thing. So for those of you who listened to our WWDC poker episode earlier this year, we're going to use pretty much the same rules as we did back then, which is that we've tried to put our own little twist on the kind of prediction episode format. So a lot of podcasts this week, they are doing predictions for the keynote. And we, of course, want to do that as well. It's always a lot of fun to speculate what Apple may or may not do. But we wanted to put our own little twist on it. So this is called the Stack Trace Poker. And the way it works is that me and Rambo, we have prepared a list of items that we can pick from. And they include things that we think might be shown on stage. And the rule is that in order for it to count, it needs to be shown on stage in the keynote at the event. And when we pick one item, we are betting points from 1 to 5. So for example, I can pick an item. I can say, you know, I think there's going to be a new iPhone. That's kind of obvious. But let's just say for sake of argument, I pick that one. And I say, I'm betting 4 points that there's going to be a new iPhone. And if there is indeed a new iPhone, which we think there's some evidence to suggest there might be a new iPhone, then I'm going to get those 4 points. And if not, I'm going to lose 4 points. And we're also going to create a little scorecard for you if you want to play along at home with us. So there's going to be a link in the show notes to a PDF where you can play along with us. So yeah, may the best poker player win. Let's see how it goes.
Awesome. So I think it's fair that the winner of the last one gets to start, right?
Fine, fine. You're going to get a dinner and you're going to get start first? All right, fine.
Yeah. And what's going to be the prize for this one?
That's a good question.
An iPhone XS?
Well, I'm not sure if I want to play that high stakes with you. But let's throw in a... should we throw in like some drinks or something like that when we're going to be in Spain?
Cool.
Yeah?
Cool.
So we already have the dinner. I mean, you already won that last time. And now we're also playing for drinks. So maybe this is going to be an expensive podcast for me to be on in the long run. But we'll see how it goes. All right. So let's get started. What's your first pick?
Okay. So I'm going to start with there's going to be a third iPhone released. And it's going to be a quote-unquote low-cost iPhone, which has the same look, general look, as the iPhone X, so notch, Face ID and stuff. But it's going to have an LCD screen, so that's where they cut the price down. And yeah, so that's my pick. There aren't going to be just the XS and the big XS. There's going to be a third phone.
And the slightly probably, big XS.
Yeah, it's probably going to be like in the 6.1 ballpark.
And do you think it's going to carry the iPhone X name?
No. But that's not part of
it's not part of the bet? Alright, yeah. So there's just going to be a low-cost iPhone, like a third low-cost iPhone. No bet on the name and no bets on the features. Just that.
Yeah, there's going to be a third one. Yeah. I don't want to, like... Yeah, it's complicated.
All right. So how many points?
I'm going to give that a 5.
All right.
That's a pretty sure bet.
Yeah, it is. And I am going to match that bet with a 5 as well. You know, sorry if we're starting out boring here, but, you know, we got to go for the simple one first, right? Yeah. I think the evidence suggests that there's going to be one. And also, since there seems to be a lot of focus on the iPhone X line on this event, at least from what we've seen, they need to have some option for the, you know, lower end of the market, if you will. But these are still like extremely expensive phones, right? But some form of option that is not the, you know, $1,000 plus phones. And we've heard some rumors about this phone, you know, back and forth, and having an LED screen might, or having not having an LED screen, having an LCD screen might be a way for them to cut costs, like you say, and maybe also have guts that match the iPhone 8, right? Like, so it's going to be almost like they're pulling an iPhone 5C, like they're taking last year's components and putting them in a new shape, a new form factor, instead of just, you know, keeping the old models around.
Yeah, and it's not like huge news that all phones this year are going to look like the iPhone X, because during the keynote last year, they said that this was their vision for the next decade of iPhone.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that this year everything is moving in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so now it's my time to pick, and I'm also going to go with not an as obvious one maybe, but I think it's still pretty obvious, and that it's that we will see a new generation of Face ID. So Face ID is, I think, remarkably good. Like, especially for being a first generation thing, it almost feels like not having a passcode. But it almost doesn't feel like having a passcode. And I think it probably could feel like not having a passcode at all. And with that, I'm talking about situations when, for example, if you're lying in bed and you're holding your phone sideways, or if it's too close to your face, and things like that. So I think we're going to see a new improved Face ID that is addressing some of these issues. And it's kind of like when they went from Touch ID 1 to Touch ID 2, like a next generation is way faster, is way more accurate, and it has a couple of new features.
Awesome.
So for that, I bet 5 points as well.
Okay, I'm giving that a 4.
All right, 4 points for you. And what's your motivation there?
I think it's possible, but I'm not so sure that I'm going to give it a 5. So I'm going with a 4 there. But yeah, I think it's very likely. Just not, I'm not like super sure.
Right. Yeah, it's a little bit of a gamble, but I think that Face ID has been such a big hit, you know, and I would be surprised if they didn't spend, you know, the last year on trying to improve it even further. All right, so your pick.
Okay, I'm going to pick that at least one of the iPhone models announced is going to have a dual SIM option.
All right.
And it's probably going to be the quote-unquote low-cost one, although I'm not betting on that. I'm betting that at least one of them is going to have a dual SIM option. And so, we talked about that in our episode with Casey, and I feel like it makes sense for it to be the low-cost version. But this is, it's something they might not even talk about during the keynotes, because it will probably be something for specific markets, such as China. So I'm not super sure that it's going to get mentioned during the keynote, so I'm going to give that a 3.
All right, 3 points. And just to clarify here, when we talk about dual SIM support, does that mean that there will be two trays? Will it be two physical SIM trays on the device?
I'm not betting specifically on what the format is going to be. It could be one SIM tray and one eSIM, or a combination of any of those things, two eSIMs, whatever. But personally, I think it's going to be physical SIM trays.
Okay.
Because of the markets where they are targeting this. And we talked about this in more detail during the Casey episode.
Yeah, for sure. Just for fun, if they were to mention this in the keynote, how do you think they will pitch it? Like, how do you think they will phrase it, the kind of Apple marketing Phil Schiller way? Like, what will be the selling speech for this feature?
I think it would be something like, and we heard comments from our customers in China that they would really like to have another option on iPhone or another feature. And they have been asking us for a dual SIM device for many years. So this year we are finally giving it to them. Something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, telling the story, right? That's what they're good at.
Yeah, they're going to tell a full story. They're going to mention why people want that feature, why it's interesting. I think that's what they are going to do. And either that, or it's going to be just a really quick, at the end, when they announce the prices, they show this is iPhone XS and this is, I don't know, iPhone 9 or something. And it's going to cost this much. And we are offering a dual SIM option in China.
Right.
Like something really quickly like that. Could be either of those.
Right. Interesting. While I know that you found evidence that supports this, I am not as confident that it will get mentioned, like you also mentioned, and I'm not even sure it's going to happen this year. It might just be something that they did for a prototype or something like that. So, but still, since there is some evidence for it, I'm going to play it a little bit safe, and I'm going to give it a 2. So I think, I bet 2 points that this actually happens as well.
Cool. What's your next one?
Next up, I want to go for something a little bit more adventurous and something, this is also a little bit wishful thinking. I really love the AirPods. I think the AirPods are one of the best Apple products in recent years. And I hope that Apple has been hard at work on a new generation of AirPods. There's not that much about the AirPods that I have to complain about, except it would be nice with a little bit more battery life, even though they charge so magically fast. It's crazy. You put them in the charging box, you wait 30 seconds, and they have 25% battery life. It is crazy. So while I don't have any feature that I would, guess maybe, volume adjustment, there's a couple of things they could do. And that's why I'm going to say that. I think there's going to be a second generation of AirPods with some minor feature improvements, some minor tweaks, but they're going to call them AirPods 2 or the next AirPods or something like that. And I'm going to bet 3 points on that.
Okay, so just to be clear, it needs to at least have a new name, AirPods 2 or the new AirPods.
they need to specifically say that it's a new product, right? So it can't just be an accessory like the charging case or something.
I was going to mention that because I think there's going to be news about AirPods, but just about the charging case. So for that, I'm giving this a 3 against.
Oh, all right. Now we're going to start with the fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So 3 against for you and 3-4 for me.
Exactly.
All right, interesting. What's your next pick?
Okay, this is an interesting one. Now we get into the real speculation stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm going to talk about naming. So I'm going to say that the 6.5-inch phone, so the big iPhone XS, will not be called the iPhone XS Plus. And not only that, but it's going to have a new suffix that will replace the plus. So
okay.
They're going to add another suffix. It's not going to be the plus. It's going to be the iPhone XS something, but not plus.
All right. So anything but plus.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
But it has to have something.
Empty string throws an error.
Yeah, exactly. So
all right.
There's going to be something, but it's not going to be plus.
Okay.
That's my pick.
And how many points?
5.
Wow, Rambo, you seem awfully confident about that.
I like risk.
I see. All right. Well, there seems to be something new going on with the product line, for sure. And I think it might not be as simple this time as just normal and plus. So I am also thinking along these lines. I was thinking that maybe it will be called the XL, because if you have the XS, you know, then it would also make sense to have the XL. Maybe that's like the, you know, how they make a little pun on the X thing, but then it would be called the XL, which you're not supposed to call it X. So maybe that's just confusing, but yeah. Okay. Let's say that this will happen. I'm going to bet 4-4 for me.
Cool.
So 4 points. My next bet is going to be that the iPhone X, like the iPhone X we have right now, will no longer be sold after the new phones are released. So normally Apple, they always keep their old phones in the lineup, but I think that this will be more like a continuation of the X, and I think that the old X, like the one we have right now, is just going to be completely replaced. So that's my bet, and I'm going to bet 4 points on that.
Cool. This is a tricky one because we need a way to confirm it with the keynote. So let's do this. At the end, when they announce the prices, at the same time I mentioned the China thing, they always show the entire lineup
when they
announce the new ones. So if the iPhone X is not on that slide, it means that you get your points.
Exactly. That's what I'm betting on. Yeah. The cool. iPhone X will not be part of the lineup. It will not continue to be a product in our lineup.
Cool.
So, your bets. Are you for or against?
I think it's going to happen. So, I'm actually going to give it a 5.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You did not find any iPhone X product marketing images.
Well, there are tons of them on Apple's website.
Yeah, that's right. Don't need to be a spelunker to find those. All right, so what's your next pick?
All right, so let's see. Oh, this is a good one. almost forgot. They are going to finally release AirPower.
Oh, yeah.
And people who are going to be at NS Spain, I'm not sure how we are going to be watching the event there, but if there are people around that are going to be at NS Spain and we watch the video with like several people, look at me when they announce AirPower. You're going to see a happy person.
You're going to run out into the streets dancing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. AirPower is here, guys. AirPower is here.
Yeah. So I'm going to give that a 5 because there's no way they're not going to announce AirPower. Come on, Apple.
Exactly. I'm totally with you. I mean, if they don't, it's almost like it's a dead product, right? It's like it doesn't exist anymore. It was just all just a dream all along that one day in the future we'll be able to charge our phones wirelessly, you know? It's just a science fiction dream. But I think so too. I think the fact also that they haven't said anything is something Apple usually do when they have something, you know, something big coming up, right? So they will just usually keep quiet, completely quiet until they have something big, and they will just say, okay, boom, it's here, it's done, it's shipping today, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's totally happening.
I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest, if people did a class action lawsuit because of this. Because every time we at 9to5 or any other publication writes about AirPower, you see lots of people commenting, I purchased the Apple Watch Series 3 because of AirPower, because I wanted to charge with AirPower. And I don't remember exactly the phrasing Apple used, but I think they said available early 2018, something like that.
Yeah, but then there's probably like, you know, the marketing text at the bottom, you know, or not the marketing text, but the lawyer text, you know, I probably said, we cannot guarantee that the AirPower will actually be available.
On the keynote?
Somewhere, probably. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I doubt that Apple would connect
these
products.
Yeah, but
people
sue Apple for anything. So.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, so it can still happen.
I'm not saying they'll win.
Right. Yeah. Or obviously, you know, it's not always a good decision to buy a product based on a promise like that. But yeah, I can totally get that people who did might be really upset because yeah, we're all waiting for AirPower, you know? It's a cool product. We want to use it.
Yeah.
All right.
So, what are you giving AirPower?
I'm giving it a 5 as well. I think it's a I would be really surprised if it doesn't happen. It would be kind of extraordinary if it because it was announced on the stage 1 year ago. So, yeah. And it was shipping, you know, soon. So hopefully we will see it shipping today this time or something like that. Like, hopefully they won't show it and say it'll ship soon again.
Oh my God. And maybe with AirPower, they finally learned that they shouldn't do this because it's like, why announce it? I know they probably thought they would have it ready for 2018, but why announce it? Like, if you think you're going to have it ready for like April 2018, announce it during the March event. There's usually an event in March, so yeah, I think they should learn that they shouldn't announce things too early.
Yeah, there were probably some reasons for it, like you know, some government approval that they needed to get, or yeah, we've talked about this before, but I'm sure there's some reason behind it, and I would love to hear it. I would love to hear exactly what went wrong here, because I'm sure it's a nice story. Maybe yeah. One day, you know, Johnny Ive and Tim Cook will sit down, you know, in a campfire, you know, next to a campfire, and yeah, talk about all this stuff and tell us all the secrets. But
and
who
they'll
knows?
Be using Johnny Ive's crafted aluminum spoons to eat.
Yes,
at a campfire.
Exactly. All right, my next pick is going to be about the Apple Watch LTE distribution. And this is, again, a little bit of a wishful thinking because the LTE version of the Apple Watch is not available in that many countries. It's not available here in Poland, where I live, so I would love to see it come here, and I would love to just see it come to more countries in general. I'm sure it has a lot to do with, you know, carriers, and there needs to be some special deal with the watch and things like that, but hopefully. Since usually this happens with like the second generation of something, this is going to be the second generation LTE watch. Usually they really broaden the rollout with those kind of products. So my bet is going to be that the new Apple Watch with LTE is going to be available in significantly more countries. Is that an okay bet to say significantly more countries?
How many is significantly?
Let's say that it's going to be available wherever the Apple Watch is available. Is that cool?
Ooh.
And I'm not probably going to be able to check that, but let's just say that there's going to be they're going to make an announcement because it has to appear on the keynote, right, for it to count.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some form of announcement to say, and now the Apple Watch with LTE is also available in all these countries, and they will show like a big slide, you know, with all the countries, and that's how we know.
Cool.
And my bet for that is 3 points.
My bet is 5 points against.
And what's your reasoning? Except for wanting to crush my dreams.
if you had said like it's going to be available in, I don't know, 5 more countries or something like that, I would probably give it something, but that many countries, I'm not holding my breath. I think it's more likely that they are going to just recap the new countries that joined the Apple Watch with LTE club, and that's going to be it. Because it's so dependent on carriers that they probably can't even announce it, because they need the carriers to get stuff working for them, and I just think it's complicated.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely complicated, and it's definitely like a wishful thinking kind of bet. But at the same time, the Apple Watch now with LTE has been out for a year, and a lot of carriers now, they really want to sell Apple products. So I would probably guess also that it's not that hard for them to convince carriers anymore to actually, you know, partner with them, because, you know, the iPhone is huge and the Apple Watch is also growing a lot. So yeah, I don't know. It's definitely not a trivial thing, but yeah, we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah, and the carriers can get more money because they, of course, charge for the Apple Watch subscription.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I don't think Apple is putting any, you know, it's not one of those things where Apple says you can maximum charge $5 per month or something. I think it's completely up to the carrier what they want to do and how they want to solve it. And I think a lot of carriers already has plans like this for people who have, like, you know, a phone and an iPad and things like that. So, yeah, we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if it actually just keeps rolling out to a significantly larger amount of countries now.
Yeah, makes sense. So my next pick is going to be, they are going to be announcing new features for HomePod that are coming with iOS 12.
All right, HomePod features.
Yeah, so we are going to talk a little bit about the specific features, but what I'm betting on is they're just going to announce new features for HomePod. So it can be just Craig saying, and with iOS 12, HomePod is getting new features as well. Something like that.
You're playing it so safe today, Rambo. My next bet is going to be that Eddie Q is going to have a colorful shirt or something.
or that the phrase, "and we think you're going to love it," is going
exactly.
to be said.
Or customer sat.
Yeah. Customer set. Ding.
Exactly.
So yeah, that's it. And we can talk a little bit about what features. The ones we know of are multiple timers and also phone calls. So starting phone calls and answering phone calls using HomePod. So those are the ones we know about. I'm not sure if we're going to get others, but those are, we can be pretty sure that we're going to get.
Yeah, and that's what you showed also during our last after show on the demo. You showed how you actually found that out from the HomePod firmware.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because we are pretty sure that we're going to get those features, but they might not mention anything during the keynote because they don't have to. But I feel like they will, because they haven't spent any second during the WWDC video talking about HomePod. So I feel like they owe it to themselves to remind people that HomePod exists.
Yeah, and it's a purely consumer-focused product too, right? There's not so much of a developer story there. Sure, it can, you know, act as a proxy to the phone and perform things like, you know, shortcuts and things, but that's more a product of it being, like we talked about on the last episode, being like software as a service, you know, being like a connected device that's connected to the phone, so it can leverage the phone for a lot of things.
Yeah, it would be like talking about AirPods during the developer keynote, because it's just an accessory. You as a developer, you don't have to do anything specifically to with that device. So it's not, there's no developer story there. There isn't even a developer beta for it. So yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And it's very funny that we talk about this now, because wasn't the HomePod initially released or unveiled at WWDC? I think it was.
Yeah, it was, but it was one of those instances where they just like, they have the event and they, we have this, so might as well just
might as well throw it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So how many points are you betting that there will be new HomePod features?
I'm going to give that a 3.
Okay.
Because we're not betting on whether there are going to be new features or not. That's, we're pretty sure. But whether they're going to talk about them during the keynote.
Yeah.
And that I'm not so sure.
I'm going to give it a 5. I am pretty sure they're going to do that, just because they haven't mentioned the HomePod now in such a long time. And since I think that this is going to be a 100% kind of consumer-focused event on the iOS series of devices. So I don't think there's going to be any Mac news here. I even doubt that there's going to be any iPad news. There might be, but I think it's going to be focused on, you know, iPhones, watches, and I think HomePod and AirPower and AirPods, they all kind of fit into that family of devices. So I'm pretty sure that there's going to be HomePod news and new features.
Awesome.
All right, so my next pick is that this is going to be a little bit of a wild card too. I love to throw in wild cards. And this one is about the Apple Video service. So there's been a lot of rumors that Apple is building up a video streaming service. And this is something that is kind of the worst kept secret, right? It's there together with their car project, where they are literally driving cars on the street, right? So it's hard not to spot them. And they've been doing a lot of negotiations with Hollywood and, you know, buying up movies and TV shows and things like that. And it feels like now we've had such a large time kind of pass. And I know that it takes a long time to produce these kind of things. But I think they're going to start kind of segueing into this new service. So there will be, my bet is that there will be some form of Apple TV service that is not just, you know, the TV app has a couple of new features. It's actually like some form of service, some new thing that they're launching in the TV app. Because also with tvOS during WWDC, it was also extremely quiet. So the tvOS team has to be up to something, right? So hopefully we will see now some form of Apple TV subscription service, whether or not there's going to be like the full-blown launch or just like a soft launch or an announcement, something like that. That's what I'm betting on.
Cool. And how many points?
I'm betting 2 on that.
Cool. I'm actually going to give that a 1 because, yeah, it could happen, but yeah, it's a wild card. We were looking at our list here, and we don't have that many like sure things left.
Yeah, because we also said before we started, like off the record, we said that we won't pick things that are obvious, like things that you have found. So we're not, for example, betting on that there will be an iPhone,
a new iPhone, for example, or
a new Apple Watch, right? Because we already know that. So that's why the list is a little bit thinner this time.
Yeah. Gotta pick right.
Yeah. So what's your next pick? And by the way, now we've done 5 rounds. So we're at the halfway point. We're going to do 10 rounds. So you have 5 more picks, Rambo. So better make them count.
Okay. So I'm going to pick that they are going to do an iOS 12 recap, because iOS 12, the release date for the public, is probably going to be announced during the event. And it could be as soon as that Friday. So I think they're going to do an iOS 12 recap, but I'm going to add a twist.
Okay.
And this twist can screw me up. I think they are going to mention during or after this recap group FaceTime.
Ooh, all right.
Which, as we know, is not going to ship with the iOS 12 release, the initial one. So I think they're going to do a recap, and they're going to mention something like, and we are adding group FaceTime later this year, or something like that. or with the iOS 12.0.1 or something. So yeah. So I only get my points if they mention group FaceTime.
All right, yeah, that's a good bet. That's a very good bet. And you're just betting on that they will mention it, but what would they say? Like, what do you think they would say?
Yeah, just like I said, I think they're going to do the iOS 12 recap and they're going to say something like, and we are adding group FaceTime later this year.
Oh, just, right, I see. Okay, all right. So just as a feature in the recap, like no special mention of it that, you know, by the way, it doesn't ship, we're sorry.
Yeah, you know? Of course they're not going to do that.
Right.
Yeah, but I think they will just mention it as this is also coming.
Yeah, and how many points?
I'm going to give that a 3.
All right, 3 points for iOS 12 recap and group FaceTime. I'll match that bet. I think also now that you phrased it that way, the fact that there will be group FaceTime in there is, yeah, I think that that's very likely to happen. So I'm going to give it a 3 as well. All right. Next up, I'm going to go for a little bit of an obvious one, and that is that they will do some form of game demo on stage. They usually do when they make new iPhones. They usually have some, you know, game company or game engine company or something like that do some either like an AR game demo or some just game demo that shows like the graphics potential of this new phone. Because at this point, now that we have so powerful graphics in these phones, it's really only like either high-end pro like graphics applications or games that can really demo that in a good way. Of course, you have many other usages of a GPU like machine learning, but those are harder to kind of demo. So I'm betting that there will be some form of game demo for the new iPhones, like showing off the graphics potential. And I'm going to bet 5 on that.
Yeah, that's a pretty sure one, but I'm gonna give it a 4 just because it's kind of specific. Like, it has to be a game and it has to be a demo.
Yeah,
like it doesn't count if they just show images on the slides. It has to be like an actual demo.
Yeah, it has to be like, please welcome our good friends from Epic Games or something like that here to show you the brand new game running on the iPhone.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give that a 4.
All right.
But yeah, it's very likely.
It is very likely. It's pretty much happened on every single keynote since...
And it's always the boring part.
For me, it's the fun part. I'm like, oh, this is like mini game show, you know? It's awesome.
Yeah, I'm always bored during those parts.
All right. My favorite was like a couple of years ago when they announced Super Mario Run. So Nintendo, like people from Nintendo actually came on stage and showed Mario. So it was like two of my favorite companies, Nintendo and Apple, on stage together. It was beautiful. I cried a tear of joy, Rambo.
Yeah, that was cool. Well, you mentioned crying, but those intro videos they make, by those... Those are very touchy-feely. They make the ninjas cut onions.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so what's your next pick?
Okay, so I'm going to pick that, and this is I think it's a good one. The big version of the iPhone XS, so the Plus or whatever they call it, will have a significantly better camera. And by significantly better, I mean it's going to have some cool feature that the smaller one doesn't. Like, I don't know, new portrait modes, I don't know, portrait mode for video, anything. Like, it's something that people are going to buy the big version because they want that feature on the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And I'll give that a 4.
All right, I'm going to do something fun here. It does make sense, but at the same time, I still feel like there's something going on with this lineup, and maybe things are not like they always were. Maybe there will be something new happening this year. We will break the cycle, break the loop. And so I'm going to bet 2 against on this.
Ooh.
Yeah. And maybe this will be something, you know, I'll end up regretting when we'll be in Spain. Hopefully not. So I think this year there is a big chance that pretty much the only difference between the big phone and the small one is the size. Like, it's the same. I can see the marketing text being something like the same great iPhone whichever screen size you want, you know, but with better phrasing. Ooh. Yeah,
you so could work at a marketing department.
So this is kind of how I see it. So I'm not so sure there will be so many differentiating features. So that's why I'm betting two against for this bet.
Cool. Yeah, I would actually love that. But I feel like the cycle will continue.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll see. That's probably like what's going to happen. But, you know, I gotta spice this game up a little bit, you know, make it a little bit interesting.
What's your next one?
So my next one is going to be about the Mac, and it's specifically going to be that there's not going to be a mention of the Mac.
This feels like a theme.
Right, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not meaning that in a complaining about Apple not caring about the Mac, because I think kind of we're out of those woods, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
However, I feel like there's so much going on with the Mac. There's rumors of a new Mac Mini. There's rumors of a new MacBook Air. There's rumors of new iPad Pros. I feel like there needs to be another event this fall, right? It's there's no way they can cram all of the stuff into one event without it feeling, you know, really, really stressful, I guess, like, you know, too many things going on. So that's why I think that this year, just like I think it was the same last year, actually, I think the iPhone keynote last year, there was not a single mention of the Mac. And I think this is something that was very specific, like that they want to focus on the other products and have a specific other event about the Macs and even the iPads, probably. So no mention of the Mac, and I'm going to bet 4 points on that.
Okay. Let's just clarify this one. Like, mention of the Mac, do you mean like mention of something specifically oriented to the Mac, or just the like the word Mac or Macintosh?
They might say Mac, right? But I don't think they're gonna spend any like time on the keynote talking about the Mac.
Okay, cool. So if it's just like Craig mentioning, and I use AirDrop to send pictures to my Mac, it doesn't count because it's
I still win that in that case. Yeah, but if they say we have a new MacBook Air or you know, macOS Mojave is launching this date or whatever, then I lose. So that's what I'm betting on, that there will be no like announcements about the Mac.
Yeah, but I was going to actually ask you, and if they say like, and macOS Mojave is going to be available in October.
Yeah, then I lose. Then I lose my points.
Oh. I'm going to bet a 2.
All right.
Yeah.
2 points for Rambo.
Because the macOS Mojave thing, I'm not so sure. Maybe they are going to mention it, but yeah.
But Mojave has never launched before, but macOS usually launches later than iOS.
Yeah. It's probably going to be mid-October.
Yeah, so if they have another event, let's say they have another event like early October, then it would make sense for them to launch Mojave then, I think. Just to keep it consistent and keep it contained so that all this event is about is phones, watches, speakers, headphones, and charging mats. But, you know, things that are not iPads and Macs, basically.
Okay, so I'm going to pick a controversial one, which shouldn't be, but it is. And it is that at least the large iPhone XS is going to support Apple Pencil.
All right. That's an interesting one. So tell me more about your reasoning behind that.
Yeah, we heard rumors about that. And many people think it's ridiculous. But hey, I know people who would love to be able to use Apple Pencil with their iPhones. And if you have a big iPhone with a 6.5-inch display, that's a big display. It's almost a mini tablet at that point.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense for you to use it for annotations and stuff. I'm not sure if it would be the same Apple Pencil you use for iPad because of size. It's kind of ridiculous, the size of Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it makes sense. So I think the large iPhone will get Apple Pencil support.
All right.
And just to get this out of the way, this has absolutely nothing to do with what Steve Jobs said about stylus during the iPhone presentation. People keep bringing this up. Go watch the full video, please. It has nothing to do with Apple Pencil. Apple Pencil is an accessory for drawing and doing annotations. And when Steve mentioned stylus, he was talking about those little plasticky things you had to use in order to use touch screens back then.
Exactly. They wouldn't work with your finger at all.
Yeah, like, PDAs used those weird styluses, styli, I don't know how to say that, to use the device. You had to use a stylus, and Steve was talking about that, and not something you used to draw. And that's, and if you remember when Apple initially released the Apple Pencil, for a while they disabled the Apple Pencil as like a regular input device. It wouldn't work. It would only work in a drawing context.
Yeah.
And they changed that because people actually wanted to use it.
Yeah, because you're holding it in your hand, right? So you need to be able to navigate somehow.
Yeah, so yeah, and I'm going to give that a 3.
All right, 3 points for Apple Pencil on the iPhone. I'm going to bet 3 points against that. And ooh, it's not because I don't want it to happen, because I think also it will be awesome. And I think, you know, there's a lot of arguments to why this might happen. But it would be really difficult, I think, to talk about Apple Pencil without talking about the iPad. And I don't think they want to talk about the iPad in this event. I have no evidence against for that, and there might be that they will do iPads here as well. But I just feel like with all the things that are going on, I feel like new iPad Pros, I feel like that's another event as well. So that's why I think that that's probably not happening either this year. Or maybe it's something like on the next event, they have like a new generation of the Apple Pencil, and they will throw in as a wild card. It's like, hey, by the way, it also supports these phones, for example. So, yeah, I don't know. But for fun, I will bet 3 against that.
Yeah, I would think that if they would hold it for the iPad event, first of all, they would lose the sales of Apple Pencil for a month, and people who would purchase the iPhone with the Apple Pencil as a bundle would not do that because they don't know that the iPhone supports Apple Pencil. I just think it's really weird to release a hardware that has something that works with it and not mention it for a month because.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But I'm still sticking to my theory that the larger phone this time will just be a larger phone. It will just be a larger screen.
Cool.
I might be completely wrong and, you know, you will laugh.
Just to be clear, I don't mean that I'm betting that only the big one will... I mean at least the big one. So if both of them support Apple Pencil, I'm still in. Like,
you're still in. All right.
Yeah, I'm saying that at least the big one will support Apple Pencil.
All right. Well, it's a good bet, and I hope you're right and I'm wrong, because I think that would be really cool to see Apple Pencil support on the iPhone.
I can already taste the drinks.
All right, so my next bet is going to be about everyone's favorite topic, pricing. And I'm going to bet that the new iPhone X, the iPhone XS, is going to start at around $1,000, and that the larger screen iPhone, the plus version of that new iPhone X, is going to start at around $1,200. So that might be like $1,199 or something like that, but around those price points. So cool. That's my bets. And I bet 3 points on that.
Cool. I'm going to give that a 4.
All right. You think my pricing model makes sense? You think I should not only work in the Apple marketing department, but I should also work in the economics department?
Yeah, I was thinking initially that 5.8 inch one would be not as expensive as the iPhone X, but then if you factor in that there's going to be another one, which is supposedly the quote-unquote cheap iPhone, it would make sense for them to keep this pricing model. And like, iPhone X is selling and they are getting their huge margin, and I don't think they need to change that. They're probably happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to say that the experiment of increasing the iPhone price has paid off big time, right? So I would be very, very shocked if Apple actually reduces the price. I think that the low-cost one will serve that purpose, but I think for the new phones, they will just keep that entry-level price point of around $1,000.
Yeah, and they're probably going to keep selling the iPhone 8 as well.
Yeah, probably. And the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 5. And, you know, you can get any phone you want. You can go back in time. If you want an iPhone 3, sure, here you go. It's you got know, super monkey ball.
This is not part of the poker, but I really wish... I know many people are going to be very mad at me for saying this, but I really wish they stopped selling the SE. Because supporting that small screen is tough. And it's getting harder. And the more the smallest device differs from the largest one, the harder it gets for you to support all of those screen sizes. Yeah. There are so many variants now. Like when designing the new editor screen for Chibi Studio, it was hard. And I'm talking about design. Like I'm not saying design is easy, but like I'm not a designer, so my designs are very simple because simplicity ends up looking better if you're not a designer, because you make things simple because you don't know how to make things complicated. And just the design aspect was tricky because I needed to make basically the same interface for work for an iPhone SE size display, for the iPhone 6 size display, for iPhone 10, and for an iPhone 8 Plus, for instance. And this year we're getting other sizes as well. So it's getting very hard to support all of those screen sizes. And I'm talking about design, I'm not even talking about the implementation, which auto layout, it helps, but it's not magic.
Yeah, and auto layout works great when you just have different spacings and things like that. And even when you want to make slight moves, like you want to move some interface elements around, you can do that with some constraints and with priorities and things like that. But it gets kind of messy pretty quickly, right? And especially if you have like a completely different UI for a bigger and a smaller phone, because you always end up making compromises otherwise. Of course, depending on the UI, some UIs, they scale better than others, especially if they are more like grid based, maybe you can put another column in of content. But if you have a more UI that is, you know, more taking advantage of a larger screen, for example, cramming that into a smaller screen can be really, really challenging.
Yeah, I have the Zeppelin project open here. So I have Editor X, then I have Editor Regular Phone, Editor low-end phone, Editor iPad, Editor iPad landscape.
Yeah.
This starts to get pretty complicated.
Yeah, it does. All right, so we have two picks left each. So Rambo, what's going to be your penultimate pick?
Oh, this is getting complicated. So let's do pricing again.
All right.
I'm going to bet that the AirPower is going to cost $299,
so around $300.
Yeah. Yep, but of course it's not going to be a round number.
No, of course not. Yeah, $299.99.
Yeah, something like that. So I feel like they are really going to the premium product space with the AirPower, with all of the animations and the cool sleek design and the fact that it supports charging three devices and supposedly more quickly than the regular Qi chargers, and you can drop the devices anywhere on the mat and not worry about the placement. I feel like that is like a premium product, like pretty much everything Apple does. But I feel like AirPower is going to be a premium Apple product. And $299 feels like a price that they would charge for something like that.
Yeah. And you also have to remember that you're selling this product to people who probably have an iPhone, a modern iPhone, a modern Apple Watch, and are also going to buy the new AirPods charging case, right? So those products are all also very expensive. So I think, yeah, it's completely reasonable to think of this as a more kind of high-end product.
If they think about the customer that's going to buy AirPower, it's the customer that values Apple the most.
Yeah.
And it probably has the money to get it. So yeah, it makes sense to price it at a premium. So I'm going to give that a 3 because it's pricing. So I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I'm going to match that bet. I think that's a reasonable price. It might be $250. It might even be more expensive, but $300 sounds like a good price. Would you buy it for $300? Of course you would, right? You would just yep. buy it for the animations for $300.
But
do you feel like it's a not only a likely price, but you also feel like it's a reasonable price for what you're getting?
It's very tricky to talk about pricing of anything, really. Because my vision of pricing is that if people are buying it, it's fair.
So yeah, that's kind of how capitalism works, right? It's
exactly.
like supply and demand.
It's basic economics. If it's selling for a price and people are paying that price, especially when it's... I'm not talking about healthcare here. I'm talking about a luxury product. So
right.
if people are buying it in a large amount number that it justifies the existence of the product, it means it's fair for them. Would I love for it to be less expensive? Of course, but I still feel like it's a good value for me. I'm not
right.
talking about anyone else.
Yeah, I'm not expecting this to be cheap at all. I think it's one of these Apple products that they are willing to, you know, add a really good markup on. And they have to, right? It's been in development for so long. They have to get the money back somehow.
Yeah, and of course, like in terms of parts, it's not going to be very expensive. People love to do those like, oh, let's get the bill of materials for an Apple product. And it's like $100 and they charge you $1,000 for it, so they are getting 10 times as much. That's not how it works, people.
If it was, then we could go out and build our own iPhones, right?
Yeah, like the crazy yeah. guy from China who does that. Have you
right.
seen those
Yeah,
videos?
Yeah, that was so cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so and AirPower is, it sounds like it's a really complicated product from what we've heard. And it might even run iOS, which is kind of insane. So it makes sense for it to be a little bit pricey. So, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. I think, yeah, $300 is a very likely price in that sense, even though I wish it was a little bit cheaper, like every Apple product. But, you know, it is what it is.
I wish all of them were free.
Next up, I'm going to continue along the same lines of the Air family of products and talk about the AirPods charging case. So I think along with AirPower, we will see the new AirPods charging case. This is a separate bet from my AirPods 2, which I think we'll see as well. So I'm betting a 5 that we will see the new AirPods charging case along with the AirPower.
Yeah, so this can be like when they announce the AirPower release, they say something like, and we are launching a new charging case for AirPods.
Yeah, they have to mention it. That's the rule. So it can't just be like, you know, there's just an image of an AirPod charging on the AirPower. It needs to be explicitly mentioned that there's a new AirPods charging case. And also, we can also throw in as a little, just to make it a little bit more fun, it needs to be available separately. So it can't just be if you buy the new AirPod 2, if they come out, then you get the wireless charging case. They need to be also available for the old AirPower. It needs to be sold separately.
Okay, so it needs to be a standalone product.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, I think it's a safe bet. And if they do release the AirPods 2, which come with this case, and they also release the case separately, you're going to get a lot of points.
Yeah, I'm going to bank all those AirPod points.
Okay, so that's a 5.
That's a 5.
I can't give it anything else.
All right, so time for the final round. What's your last pick?
So my last pick is, I think, a safe bet as well. It's kind of similar to your game one, and they might overlap. I think we are going to see some sort of AR demo.
Right. So separate from the game demo, or you think there will be a game AR demo, or just any kind of AR demo?
My pick is any kind of AR demo. So it can be a game that's AR, but it has to be an AR demo. So if they just mention, oh, and it also supports AR, it doesn't count. It has to be an actual physical AR demo on stage.
All right, cool.
And it can be a game or an app or something.
Or an interactive
like
movie or, yeah.
Yeah.
And how many points?
4.
All right, 4 points for AR demo. And I'm going to go with 2 on that one. I think they've already shown AR so much. Of course, they love AR and, you know, they are trying to show AR as much as possible, it seems. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was an AR demo. But yeah, I think for this event, I'm going to just go with a 2. I don't think it's, you know, super likely, but, you know, it might happen.
Now, John, to end the poker phase of this episode.
Yes.
What would surprise you if they announced during the event? Like something that you are not expecting to happen, but might happen and would make you get surprised.
All right. So that's actually a great segue into my last pick. And my last pick is that there's not going to be any new iPads in this event. So I talked about it a little bit before, where I think that this event will probably not have space or room for new iPads. I think that's going to be a separate event along with the Mac stuff. But I might be surprised and they might have new iPads for us as a surprise. That would be really, really cool. And that would make me very happy. But I am actually betting on that there will be no new iPads, and I'm betting a 2 on that. Not a big bet, but because they might have iPads, and usually iPads are not leaking as much as iPhones because there's just, you know, an order of magnitude more interest in iPhones. But I'm betting a 2 that iPads will be a separate event. No new iPads launched on this event.
Well, we do have a glyph.
Oh yeah, iPad. We do have a glyph. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you on that. I think like there are two ways they could approach this. One of them will be iPads and iPhones. They are the same family of products, so they are iPad and iPhone. They both run iOS and they are similar. And the new iPads are going to get features that are present on the new line of iPhones, so the iPhone 10 look with the small bezel and the, in the case of iPad, no notch, and that's one way to look at it. Another way is the iPads they need to update this year, because they've already updated the consumer line, are the Pro iPads. They need to update the iPad Pro line, and the iPad Pro is a Pro product, and another Pro product is the Mac.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my thinking too.
I think we're going to have a Mac and iPad event in October, which will be really cool because then we're going to have another poker episode.
Yes, more poker.
So yeah, I think I'm with you, and I'm going to actually give that a 3.
All right, it's a good bet. All right, so that's all of our bets for this episode. We really like doing this format, and we hope that it was fun for you too. And like I mentioned, there's going to be a scorecard in the show notes for you to follow along at home. Please fill it in, and if you want to send it to us, that'd be a lot of fun just to see kind of what you're betting and what you're hoping for as well. Rambo, anything you want to say to close off this episode, and any final guesses or predictions for our event next week?
Nothing too specific, just that I'm really excited for this event, and I'm especially excited because we're probably going to watch it together, and
yeah,
maybe with other people, so
hopefully,
it's going to
yeah.
be a fun experience. And I'm also super excited because we're going to be doing our reaction episode live at NS Spain, and that's going to be very cool.
Yeah, I'm really, really looking forward to that. And I'm really looking forward to seeing people live. You know, I've never met you before in real life, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Is this real life?
Exactly. And hang out with you and hang out with listeners of the show and other cool developers in NS Spain. That's going to be a blast. And of course, it's going to be awesome to release another episode next week as well. So look forward and late next week for this episode that we're going to record in an Spain live in front of a live audience with all of our reactions to Apple's event.
And it's probably not going to be edited, like it's just going to be the live show. So people are going to have the opportunity to listen to how bad we are at podcasting without editing.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be a revealing episode in many, many senses. So looking forward to it. All right, until then, that's it for this episode. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. You can, of course, find our show notes in your podcast player of choice, or you can go to stacktracepodcast.fm. If you want to support the show, if you like what we do and want to see us keep doing it, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/stacktracepod, where you can help support the show. And you can also find us on Twitter. I am at John Sundell on Twitter, and Mr. Rambo, he is at _inside. And that's about it. So say goodbye, Mr. Rambo.
Goodbye. We know it's iPhone XS.
Yeah, so but that, I think there's a reason it's called XS. Because I think the big one is going to be called XL.
It's not.
It's not? Oh, okay.
The big one is going to be called iPhone.
Oh, interesting. That's really weird. It sounds almost like, yeah, well, that's super weird.